This Sunday and the next three Sundays, we will be studying a very known story about food washing from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, as it was read before the sermon. Today we will not go into details, but I will try to show you why this story is so important for us today, and why this story about food washing was also important for Christians throughout all history. How we today will benefit from reading this story. There are at least three reasons, and I will give you three reasons why I believe this story is important for us today. Generally speaking, it takes us to the heart of Christianity, that is, how early Christians understood what does it mean to be a Christian in relation to other people and to God. Because Christianity is a relational thing. So, three reasons. First, this story shows us what does it mean to love according to God. We see here how God explains what is love in action. We see it in verse 1 when we read that Jesus loved his disciples to the end. Other translations say that Jesus loved his disciples with the highest expression of love. In our culture, everyone has its own definitions for everything. We are taught by our Western individualistic culture that we all have to find truth for ourselves. We are encouraged, for example, to discover what love means to us. Even in church, people in study groups are asked what this passage of scripture means to you. There is nothing wrong with that question, as long as we seek together what this passage means to God. What meaning did it have for the author of the book, or what he intended to teach his ancient listeners? It's nothing wrong that you have your own opinion what is love about. Everyone has. Maybe your opinion is the same, like in the popular pop song. I quote, "What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me, come on." End of quote. I would really love to hear what you think that love is after our meeting on a Q&A session, drinking good coffee with you. But I hope you are open to hear how Jesus interprets what does it mean to love. We will see it in the next three sermons. The second reason why we study this passage of scripture about food washing is that it shows us, indirectly, how we should relate to God in our daily lives. How He, God, wants us to worship Him when we are not in the sanctuary, when we are not in the church. Both in Hebrew and Greek, one of the words for worship is service. Paul uses this word, for example, in Romans 12, verses from 1 to 3, when he writes about worshiping God by laying down our bodies as a living sacrifice, because this is our spiritual service. Yes, we worship God when we are together, praying, singing, listening to the sermon, receiving the Lord's Supper. But worship is also what we do when we go out of the church. Worship is our lifestyle. That is why Jesus said to the Father God in prayer, "I have worshipped you in the earth. I have finished the work you told me to do." How then we worship when we are not in the church, but we are in the world? Do you really think God wants us to sing all the time or murmuring the prayer under our nose during business meetings or go to the restroom every 30 minutes to bow down before the throne? Maybe it is good to catch a little moment to say something nice to God. But the case here is not adoration. It is service. We have said that worship means service. So we worship or serve God by serving other people. Do you remember what Jesus said? "Whatever you have done to one of these little ones, you did it to me." Worshipping God, serving God, means to serve others. When we serve others, God receives our service as worship. And of course, as you probably know, or maybe not, the foot washing is a metaphor for serving other people. So once again, when we metaphorically wash the feet of others, that is, when we serve others, God receives it as worship. Until now, you should see how relational Christian faith is. It connects us to God, and it connects us to other people. But this passage also defines the problem. Why so many people doesn't want to have anything common with the church? It is because when we, Christians, forget about this relational dimension of worship, when we just concentrate on adoring God when we are together, but neglect washing the feet of others, people see us as hypocrites. Maybe you sit here and this is what you think about the church. I don't blame you. But I ask you, don't reject God only because we poorly represent Him. As you see, we try to tackle this issue by openly speak about this problem. I would laugh if you would stay with us longer to verify our progress. If you are a Christian, I ask you to check the balance between your time spent with God, that is, the adoring aspect of your worship, and your service to others, that is, the practical aspect of your worship. I really like the motto of the Wesleyan Church. It has this great balance. We exist to worship God and serve other people. So remember, you serve God by serving other people. And if you find serving difficult, or maybe even impossible, if you face the fact that really in yourself, you discover that you don't like to wash the feet of others, don't freak out. Just stay with us for the next 3 weeks. My hope is that you will be encouraged and changed, because there is someone who can help you, who can change you. His name is Jesus, and He succeeded in transforming the lives of His disciples. As we will see in the following weeks, they were so far from perfection in the area of serving others, but they were transformed. How? By seeing and experiencing Jesus washing their own feet. But even much more, by seeing Jesus dying on the cross, when His blood, not just the water and soap, but the blood of the blameless, perfect Son of God, washed away every dirt, every sin of their lives. How could they not be transformed? How could we not be transformed? Let's pray together. We ask, Father, that You receive our worship when we wash the feet of others, when we serve them. You also see all inabilities in us to serve. But we ask You that Your Holy Spirit show us Christ, the perfect example of service and the perfect substitute for all uncleanness of our lives. He on the cross was made dirty by our sin, so we may be clean by His blood and the power of Your word and Your Holy Spirit. Amen.